Folks, I remember a whole bundle of years ago on different occasions when I was the youth and family worker in First Coleraine. Three different occasions we went out to Albania. Twice working with young people, the third time going out working with folks with special needs. But I remember on one of the occasions, and if you like, almost like a culture clash when I was there, I just, out of habit, and it's because the way my wee mother has taught me, just always saying thank you. So somebody, especially out there in the heat, buys you an ice cream, you say, oh, thank you. You know, thank you for this, thank you for that. If you open the door, thank you, thank you. And at one stage, Lence, kind of son-in-law of Pastor Bert, he turned around and says, Gordy, you don't need to say thank you all the time. And I kind of thought, what? Like, it's complete opposite of what we're taught and told from our yay hi. It says, we know that you're thankful. I could not get used to it. I just couldn't do it. I just, thank you. Gordy, there's a cup of coffee. Thank you. There's your dinner. There's, we're going away somewhere and there's a fan to cool you down. Thank you. Gordy, you don't need to say thank you all the time. We know that you're thankful. And it was an Albanian thing. It's just a different culture, a different way. But I couldn't do it. And I don't mean that in any arrogant way. Today's psalm, folks, Psalm 103, is just thank you. It's just thank you. Whenever, again, Derek Kidner, one of the commentators, one of the scholars, says, admiring gratitude shines through every line of this hymn to the God of all grace. Admiring gratitude shines through this hymn to the God of all grace. Warren Wiersbe, this got me. Thought, wow, there are no requests in this psalm. It's only praise to God. Doesn't ask God for anything. It just says, thank you. Folks, are we like that? Do we live in that thankfulness? The psalm breaks down, as I read through, in three sections, and then there's two wee anomalies, and we're actually just going to jump through, and again, I'm going to go quickly, so don't panic, because I know we're slow starting. The first lot of verses, 1-5, are personal. Let's go quickly. Praise the Lord, or bless the Lord, O my soul. It's about God for you. Let's unpack the five verses. Praise or bless the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. From the very depths of my boots, just to say thank you, Lord. What does it mean to bless the Lord? And again, it's just to say thank you. It's to that which is within us to express, to delight God's heart by expressing love and gratitude for all that he is and all that he does, says Warren Wiersbe. Let me read that again. To delight God's heart by expressing love and gratitude for all he is and for all he does. Bless or praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Subtly in this psalm, David is remembering the ingratitude of the children of Israel and Egypt and the wilderness. That'll come out in a wee moment. But he's saying, let's not forget the Lord's benefits. Again, Derek Kidner says, the Exodus story reminds us of the sullen ingratitude of which God encounters to forgiving, healing, and redeeming. It's so often, it's like the 10 lepers. 10 are healed, only one comes back and says, thank you. So forget not all his benefits. Look at the verses here, and we're just going to fly. Forget not all his benefits. Verse 3, he forgives. He forgives. Praise the Lord, all my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases. Now again, in church and in church family, how do we understand this one? Ultimate healing in heaven. Who redeems our lives from the pit. Reminds you of Psalm 40, doesn't it? The new song in my heart. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, set my feet on a rock. He redeems us. He crowns us with righteousness. He crowns us with love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with good things. Who renews our strength. Again, that's a little echo for later on in Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Praise the Lord, O my soul, God for you. The first verses are personal. And then there's a change here that it's relational. Verses 16 through to 19. It's interesting, actually, if you read verses 1 to 5, me or my is mentioned 9 times. Okay, me or my is mentioned 9 times. Verses 6 through to 19, he, him, or his is mentioned 18 times. This is not about you. This is about God's character and how we are in relationship with him. I love verse 6, and we'll just go quickly again, as I keep on saying this, aren't I? The Lord works righteousness and justice for the oppressed. God's character, God is for the outsider. The Gospel of Luke is about how God, in Jesus, reaches down to those who the Jewish church leadership would push away. And they're the people that Jesus gravitates to. That's interesting to hold on to. Verse 7, the God of Moses, he made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. And so this, there's lots of this is in reference back to the ingratitude of the people with Moses, the God of Moses. Again, one of the commentators just calls this passage the John 3:16 of the Hebrew Bible. It's about God's love and grace and goodness for us. The John 3:16 of the Hebrew Bible. John Mark Comer, really helpful little book called God Has a Name. He tells us within this passage, think of it as God's self-disclosure statement, his press release to the world. I don't know if you have a Facebook. I've never had an Instagram or a Twitter or now X account. But you have a little profile on it, don't you? And you want to tell people how cool you are. And so you never put the bad stuff, you only put the good stuff. And you try and impress people, or maybe at times fool people. Well, in some senses, now this is not God fooling us. But again, John Mark Comer says it's quite possibly this passage, the most quoted passage in the Bible by the Bible. This is God's self-disclosure. This is God's real and genuine profile page, if that's not disrespectful. You know what I'm saying. This is where God reveals himself. It's the first time in Scripture, in Exodus 34, where God reveals himself to the people. And here, King David, years later, takes this passage, and it's right here in the middle of these words. Let's just keep going. Verses 8 through to 10, we read about God's abounding love. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. And he does not treat us, folks, as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. God's love is abounding. I remember John Kirkpatrick saying a while ago, years ago, speaking, he says, you all know that God loves you, but does he like you? If you're like me, you're thinking, oh, he couldn't like me. You know, ooh. And we're self-deprecating and we're, ooh. But God's love for us is abounding. God's love is, if there's anything we learn, God's character, his love is abounding. Look at verses 11 and 12, because it's the breadth of that love. Verses 11 and 12, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. And verse 12 is even more than that. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he moved our transgressions from us. He loves us so much, you can't measure his love, and actually his forgiveness. Well, our sins are thrown into the depths of the deepest sea. The breadth of his love, desiring relationship with us. This, folks, is our God. Verse 13, and also as we go back to verse 8, three times compassion is mentioned. Verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. Verse 13, as the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And that's not terror fear, that's respect and healthy awe for God and who he is. Verses 14 to 16 are just a wee reminder of who we are in the midst of all this. Verses 14 through to 16. For he knows how we are formed and he remembers that we are dust. But as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like the flower of the field, and the wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. We are dust. And yet God loves us. God sent Christ to die for us in his abounding love that is so wide and long and high and deep, and his compassion for us. Verse 17 and 18. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant, and to remember to obey his precepts. And as we love the Lord, we long to live for the Lord, don't we? Quite possibly the most quoted passage in the Bible, by the Bible. God's love is personal, it's relational. And then here, just the reaction of God's people and the praise of God's people, well, it's universal. Look here, verses 19 through to 22. In verses 19 through to 22, the Lord has established his throne in heaven. His kingdom rules over all. And then just this just explodes, doesn't it? Four times. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, all his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Let's read that again. Verse 20. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his or obey his word. We're in company with the angels as we praise the Lord. The way Eugene Peterson keeps putting this in the message, the God of the angel armies. Verse 21. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, all the angel armies. You servants who do his will. And you see that obedience keeps coming back out here in service for God. Praise the Lord, all his works, all creation, everything. The heavens declare the glory of God everywhere in his dominion. And then it finishes up with the last words, which are the first words in the psalm. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All of us, for you. How do we respond to God? Angels, help us to adore him. Ye behold him face to face, and the sun and moon, all creation, bow down before him. We're dwellers all in time and space. Praise him, praise him. Michael Wilcox, in his little commentary, says, in an orchestra, each individual is as necessary as the total sound. Now, you must not be a musician. You should be in a choir. But in an orchestra, every instrument has a different voice and yet is required to make the total sound. In a choir, every voice is required in whatever range you sing in to make that total sound. As we each praise the Lord, O my soul, say, there's no request here. It's all praise to our God. Folks, where are we at this morning? Universally, bless the Lord, O my soul, as we celebrate and think of our God in heaven. Relationally, bless the Lord, O my soul, as we think of the character of God and his love that is abounding, its breadth, its his compassion from everlasting to everlasting. It's personal. The God who forgives, who heals, who redeems, who crowns, who satisfies, who renews. God for you. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and rich in love.